to the haunted chapel. It's like church, but for metal. Here are your hosts, John Araya and Brittany Elliott.
This is the Haunted Chapel. Thanks for tuning in. I'm John Araya.
And I'm Brittany Elliott. Some people call me BZ.
BZ. Here we're going to talk about everything having to do with metal. Touring, tattooing, the techs that work for metal bands, musicians in metal bands. I've been touring for almost 40 years. Slayer, Danzig, Kitty, System of a Down, Misfits, MSI, Lou Reed. I did a little run with Gerard Way, Mastodon, Testament. It's a pretty long time.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much your entire life, babe.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. It is, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been tattooing?
So I have been tattooing for the majority of my life. It's all I ever wanted to do. And I started apprenticing when I was 19. I'm 35. So 15 years, actually, around this time of year, I think it was April or May that I first started. So I have been tattooing a while.
Tattooing 15 years.
15 years. Wow. And I'm going to be 35 awesome. This year.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. It's. I knew I always wanted to do it. And I just, I had other jobs in between and had two jobs at once and three jobs at once while I was apprenticing and tattooing still. But I always knew that that was my path.
I remember you told me a story about how you got into tattooing. Your mom took you somewhere and your dad wasn't supposed to know? Or
Yeah, well, my mom was kind of crazy in a cool way, in my opinion, when I was a kid. But my dad had custody and, you know, we were raised by my dad and my dad was cool. My dad played drums. He was rock and roll and he was awesome. But he was like 70s hard rock, you know, everything like. San Antonio to the Bone, Legs Freebird. Diamond. Yeah, Skinner is his favorite band ever. Yeah. But our DJ here in San Antonio, Joe Anthony, he's a legend. Ask Rob
Joe
Halford.
Anthony?
Yeah, he introduced a lot of bands to San Antonio, like Moxie and Triumph and like all these like kind of cult hard rock bands. And so that's what I grew up listening to, like Golden Earring and shit like that, you know? And so, yeah, I grew up in a house of rock and roll as well. And you were the Casa de Metal. Or, you know, music, right?
Yeah. Well, in my teen years, growing up, the Wonder Years.
Ah.
It was like Casa de Metal because that's when the band, you know, Slayer just got together. And, you know.
What year was that?
81.
So you 81. were like 12, 13?
12. When I got into the heavy metals.
The metals.
Yeah. And, Tom had mixtapes because Kerry would make mixtapes. Like, these are the songs I want to cover. Hear the lyrics and learn them. So Tom learned them. But I was listening to him too. Like, hell yeah, man. Maiden, hell yeah.
Okay, on that. Yeah, what Maiden song? What songs would they do?
I think it was Murders in the Rue Morgue, Killers.
Nice.
22 nice. Acacia Avenue, Hallowed Be Thy Name. And then probably a few other ones I can't remember right now. But I remember listening to those songs going, wow, that was rad. Because it was on tape and it had this certain sound. It was amazing. And there was like Judas Priest on there. There was Deep Purple. Like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, Deep Purple is a big one for my dad. I remember we went to see Skynyrd and Deep Purple. And I don't remember what year that was, but it was our whole family. My brothers and I and my stepmother and my dad. And it was at this amphitheater called Verizon. Y'all played there, I'm sure, for Ozfest.
Right in San Antonio?
Yeah, San Antonio. You probably played it, but anyway, it was Skynyrd and Deep Purple, and I remember that was like one of my first concert experiences, and just remembering just the hits that my dad would always play, and then my dad always had records playing too, so I knew some of the deep cuts, John Lord kind of keyboard stuff.
Hell yeah, John Lord.
Yeah, and my dad just would, you know, he'd be like, baby, this is a keyboard player named John Lord, you need it, you know, this is a band called Deep Purple, baby, you know, and I'm like, all right, you know, so I would just sit there while my dad just played records and I would memorize these tunes and that just kind of that shaped me. But, I completely evaded your question, which was going in a tattoo shop with my mom because I started talking about my awesome dad.
But then from that, from there came that awesome photo of you as a little baby sitting on Sit and Spin with that Van Halen 1984 album behind you. Yeah. And then that little
The baby looks like he's looking at me.
The little blip of the Skynyrd album cover on the other side.
And Street Survivors.
Old monitor speakers that are behind us that were set up.
EVs. I don't know if you can see those in the video. Yeah,
they can see them.
Yeah, those were, I mean, those have been in my family since I was a little kid. I mean, sitting on a sit and spin, I must have been 4 years old or something, just sitting there listening to Van Halen. I remember that. That's just, I mean, I just grew up immersed in music and I've always just been obsessed with music my entire life. That's just.
So going into the tattoo shop
for the first time. Right. Okay. So my mom had this friend in town. His name is Carlos Gonzalez, and he is awesome. He's still around, but he tattooed my mom a couple times when I was a kid, and my mom took me in the tattoo shop, and I'm not even sure that was really allowed, you know? I'm pretty sure it was 18 and up, but they were, you know, she was a client, and I guess, like a friend, you know? And so she was like, oh, I'm going to go introduce you to Carlos because I was interested in, you know, the art behind tattooing and stuff, so introduced me. She made an appointment, I think, to get tattooed, and I was like, oh, wow, cool. But I remember going in there and just being like, wow, this is rad. There was just like, in hindsight, like flash and original paintings. And, you know, people are sitting here, you know, going through all this pain to get tattooed. And I just thought that was so cool. Listening to metal. And I was like, damn, my mom's rad. But I kind of just got immersed in it as a kid. And my mom and dad were divorced. And she's like, don't tell your dad I brought you here. And I never would because I wanted to go back and I wanted like a bigger taste of that world, you know? It just seemed like a pirate's world. Yeah. And it was so fucking cool to me to just see these people heavily tattooed. And I was just like, wow, I'm going to look like that when I grow up, you know, when I get older.
Mm-hmm. Just covered, a woman of colors.
Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to just be heavily tattooed and now I am.
Yep, and definitely are. That's right.
It's just normal to me. Like sometimes I'll get looks depending on what city I'm in, and I'm just like, oh, what's up? And people are kind of shocked at how friendly I am. heavily tattooed, I guess it's a lot more out there now. But certain cities, like San Antonio, even still at the grocery store, I get some weird looks. But I don't even realize because I've been heavily tattooed for so long. You know,
there's like more and more people like you see with full sleeves, peeking out their shirts. It's like more common now, so it's not so. Maybe for the older.
Like in Austin or Portland or something like that, it's like I blend in with the crowd. But it just depends on where you're 80
or over, you'd be like, oh.
Right?
You know, but everyone has one. I mean, even the old sailors, you know, from back in the day, that nice little anchor or something on them, you know.
Little swallow.
So it's not little swallows. Yeah. Like these. I mean, that Carlos is still here. So that's, I mean, you're still in touch with him. That's cool.
Right. And he's the first person I asked to apprentice me. Mm-hmm. But I wound up not having an apprenticeship with him because I just kind of, you know, was working regular jobs at age 16 and, you know, and just asking around, give me an apprenticeship. And a couple of shops were just like, no, you don't want to get into this, you know. And I just kept trying to draw my ass off and prove myself and show him like, hey, man, like, give me a chance. Here's my portfolio. And eventually I wound up working out.
You did free tattoos, right? So what was your first free tattoo or your first tattoo as an apprentice? Ooh. Do you remember what it was? Or is there a photo of it? Did you show me that one, right?
No, that was the second one. I did a little skull as the second one.
That's the second one. Yeah. So I haven't seen the first one.
I'm sure there's a photo somewhere in like old flip phone razor or something of mine that doesn't exist. Somewhere.
Do you know who you did it on?
Yes, I do. That's a great story.
Okay, so maybe.
It was a seemingly homeless man, I guess, that would walk by the shop every day. he had a stroller and the awesome chick that owns the shop that I apprenticed at, Erica, she was like, man, why's that guy walking by with that fucking stroller? There's no baby in there, you know? So we would kind of like peek out the window at him and he saw us looking at him one day and he comes in and he's like, hey, how much for a free sample? And we were like, dude, this is a tattoo shop. There's no fucking free samples. Like, you get it once, you got it forever. You know, it's like Dennis Hopper says in Blue Velvet, you get a love letter for me. Never mind. But,
so that's why there's no photo of your first one. That's cool.
Yeah, okay. So
the skull is your second one.
Second one, okay. But yeah, the free sample was a little smiley face on, like, his little knuckle on his wrist right there, like the bone of the wrist. Mm-hmm. So that was funny. And he's like, ah, you know, he's screaming the whole time. And Erica's like, there, you got your fucking free sample. Now get out of here. But we looked in his stroller, and he had a Bart Simpson doll. This was the craziest thing. It was like a little Bart Simpson doll and a six-pack of beer. And I was like, what's up with that Bart Simpson doll? And he goes, hey, you want to trade me this tattoo for this Bart Simpson? And I'll never forget how he said it. He's like, Bart Simpson. And like he was trying to like quote one of the characters on the show or something. It was so funny. And I think we got the Bart Simpson from him, but I don't know what happened to it. I think it was like a shop staple. But that was my first tattoo I traded for a Bart Simpson doll.
So that was your first free one.
It was my first freebie. Yeah.
What was your first paid one?
Paying customer? I think it was like a set of praying hands or something. And it was brutal, and Erica believed in me and was like, you can do this. I'm like, praying hands is like literally the hardest tattoo to do ever. Like, she's like, you got this. I'm like, you know, just like heart beating out of my chest. But I did it, and I think it came out pretty cool. But she was proud of me. She's like, man, you got this. She just had faith in me. And man, I just, like, I tell you all the time, because I'm teaching Johnny how to tattoo, just go for it. You're gonna, you know, have some trials and tribulations of tattooing, but
when I did them Dyson and Neil, I was so nervous. I was like, I was sweating because, you know, I was like right in between all these badass artists, you know, and Scorpion and like, oh my God,
don't fuck it up.
I'm like, oh, I was going, but it came out, I guess it came out pretty good. I mean,
it's rad. Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm proud of it. And
you should be. I'm proud of you. I kind of
designed a little bit off of an old Sailor Jerry Flash. So
the dice.
The rolling dice. So
heck yeah.
That's cool.
I was to memorialize my little brother, Mikey. R.I.P. Mikey. So that was very special.
So I know this is going to be a tough question. I asked it before. Who is the coolest person you ever tattooed?
Ooh. Well, duh, you.
No. I'm not cool, but who is the coolest person that you like? Like a musician or another artist or another tattooer?
Great question. Because
I can't remember.
Well,
It was a tie.
Yeah, there's a few. Okay, so I've tattooed Wino from St. Vitus and The Obsessed, Spirit Caravan, Hidden Hand, Lost Breed. I could go on and on about all his awesome bands. And Wino's a personal hero of mine, so that was like a really, really amazing thing for me to be able to tattoo him. And then I wound up going on the road with St. Vitus and Spirit Caravan later and tattooing Wino a couple more times. Once on the road with Spirit Caravan, I did a Helm of Awe on him.
Where's the placement on that symbol?
It's right in the center of his chest on his sternum. He always plays with his shirt off or like with a leather vest and no shirt, you know, and it sits right above his guitar. It's
peeking right over his guitar.
Yeah, it's really cool. But he felt like, I guess he was getting like some weird vibes on this tour we were doing, and it was South By, and he's like, B, I need this tattoo. I need this protection symbol. And so we tattooed it on him and in a hotel room, like right before their show and stuff.
In Austin.
Yeah, South By 1 year. Shit, I don't even remember what year that was. Probably, I think 2014. And I think it was 14. And yeah. So Wino, definitely up there. Jimmy Bauer, he's awesome. I've known him forever just from being an I Hate God fan and going to a million other shows and stage diving and him just knowing who I am from just being a wild ass.
You have a funny story. Diver. You have a funny story about Bauer borrowing your bullet belt.
Oh yeah. So yeah, Philip had Anselmo had the Housecore Horror Fest, and there was, I think there were three of them, but the one that was in San Antonio that I wound up going to, Paul Booth tattooed at it. That was rad. And then Thor played and oh my God. So Jimmy Bauer's playing drums for Thor, and he's like, man, everybody in this fucking band's got all these bullets and shit on, you know? And he looked at me and he's like, Britt, let me borrow your bullet belt. So I'm like, okay. So I take it off and he puts it on, and yeah, he's got a shirt on. I've got a photo of it. Well, I'll have to find that for you guys, but
you have a photo of that?
Oh yeah. I have a photo of it. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, it's great. So Jimmy puts the bullet belt on and he puts it like around his chest like this. And he's like, all right, this is great. I'm fitting in the band now. It's great. And it just looks so funny. But we made him fit the Thor ensemble that was going on. And then Phil came on the stage and of course was harassing everyone, and it was great. And he was pulling everyone's clothes off. But anyway, Jimmy was trying to a video of that as well. I'll have to get Kate and Philip's permission to leak that though. But yeah, that was great. But so Jimmy's trying to get the belt off, and I don't think he realized that it just snapped open, and he's trying to get it off and it's just stuck in his hair, and the bullets are like ripping his hair, and he's like, what the fuck? And so, yeah, that was funny. So Wino and Jimmy Bauer, they're close personal friends, and they've become that over the years, yeah, of just cool. supporting their bands and being a huge fan and cool. help invite us out a bunch. And yeah, so that was awesome. Let's see, who else? Ron Holzner from Trouble. Mm-hmm. I'm a Trouble fanatic. So he actually came through my old shop, ironically, a couple of days after his brother had passed. And he wanted to get a little memorial to his brother. So that was like a really emotional session, but that was really special to me that I got to tattoo Ron Holzner from Trouble, as I remember buying my first Trouble records here in San Antonio.
And who's your worst client?
Ooh, or, I can't tell people that like that. Babe, we need to talk about you. This is all about me. Okay. So let me talk to you about your life a little bit. Yeah? Okay, so growing up in your house, did everybody in your family play music? Like, did your dad play music? Your mom?
Anna played the clarinet. Marcy played the accordion.
Awesome. I didn't know that.
I'm not sure if Ollie got... I think she got into the clarinet, maybe. I'm not sure. Have to double check with her.
My mom played clarinet too.
And then I played the clarinet, and then I got into saxophone, and Cisco played guitar, and Tom played a bass. So there's more artists, you know. Mm-hmm. Anna drew, my mom drew, Jeanette drew, Ollie draws, Marcy, that, you know, Aaron was artistic. Cisco almost was studying architecture. So that comes from mom's side.
So you have, artists. Obviously, I know this about you, but our listeners don't. But how many siblings do you have, Johnny?
I have four sisters, and there's two brothers. So it was a pretty big family.
Yeah.
It was huge. And there was always music playing. I remember from one of my earliest memories is just having music on, Led Zeppelin or Jimi Hendrix. Anna was a big Jimi Hendrix fan. Jeanette was a big David Bowie fan. So that was always playing.
Cisco. Marcy and my mom liked the Doors.
The Doors. That was later on, but when I was growing up, when I was little, it was Jeanette and Anna who played the music a lot. The Beatles always, of course, they had the Beatles.
Yeah.
And it was getting into, you know, it was like a mid to late 60s, so all this crazy rock and roll was coming out. And
I heard you love ABBA.
I love ABBA. Who doesn't? Who doesn't? Who doesn't love ABBA?
Yeah. You know? I mean, you can't just, like, help but feel good and want to groove and dance when ABBA comes on. What's your favorite song?
I really like SOS.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah,
it's kind of, there's, like, the middle part, you know, the chorus. It's, like, pretty, it's heavy to me. That's pretty heavy.
What was Cisco into? What was Tom into?
They were into the Beatles, you know, Led Zeppelin. They got into heavier stuff. They, BTO.
Nice.
Bands like
nice.
Who else?
Sabbath.
Lots of Beatles.
No,
I don't think they were that heavy yet. Okay. They didn't get to that heavy part.
So late 60s, huh?
Yeah, rock and roll. You know, what was playing in the 70s? You know, these crazy 70s songs. Yeah. You know, that was always like, you know, Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty, stuff like that.
Joe Walsh, Eagles.
That's what I remember. Just the radio hits.
Right.
It was always a radio playing, and of course, my sister Anna would always play the South American 60s pop songs. Those are really cool.
Those are awesome. You play those for me. They're great. I love it.
And mom and dad love tangos. You know, they always play tangos. My dad loved tangos. We used to go to this place called Shakey's down in Huntington Park. And there was a man playing a banjo and another guy on an upright piano. And he'd be playing music. And dad would always give me money so I could put in the tip jar and request Blue Tango.
Oh.
So he would play Blue Tango on the banjo. It was so cool. It was great.
Oh my god!
Eating Mojos and pepperoni pizza. It was awesome.
Oh, I love that memory.
Yeah, so there was always music everywhere. Everyone loved music in the house. There was always music somewhere.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So was Cisco in a band before Slayer started, or like the cover band started? Or did he just kind of teach you to pick around?
I think the band was called Castle Hill. I'll have to double check with Cisco.
It's a part of town here in San Antonio.
Yeah, that was Cisco's. I remember him having a drawing of the castle on a piece of like earth that was just floating in space, Castle Hill.
So when the band started in the garage, did you go out there? How old were you? Like, you go out there and be like, "What's going on?" Or was it cool for you to hang out there?
No, I was too young. I was too little when they first started.
Yeah,
when Tom started getting was in his first cover band,
Which was called what?
It was Quits.
My dad's band was called Loose. Quits and Loose. I like that. Just one word.
That was Quits. And then I just remember just listening to them. I didn't go in there because it was loud. And it wasn't too crazy, as you know, like partiers, like when Slayer started. It was pretty mellow. But I just remember just listening to the garage because there was no soundproof. It was just that pink insulation looks like cotton candy.
Yeah, breathing shit, in asbestos.
The shit you breathe in your entire life.
Is that why my lungs hurt?
You're wondering, like, wow, what's up with my lungs? But I just remember listening to them and I never went in there. But
so when did you go? When were you allowed to go in and then start, you know, actually going on the road and stuff?
I think I started like kind of hanging out in the garage when I was about 13, 14.
Wow.
In the garage. And they were, you know, just starting out. Well, they started in 81, but I was hanging out about 83 when they started doing more stuff. And I was able to like to go out and help. Like 14 years old, I was like moving gear around. I was a roadie, I guess, at 14. And that just carried on to, you know, what
forever,
I hear.
Right?
Yeah, now.
Hell yeah. What was your favorite tour that you ever did? Like, what's the first thing that pops into your head right now?
Probably Clash of the Titans.
Awesome.
That was rad.
90 or?
That was 91.
91, yeah.
Yeah, the European one was cool, but it was in Europe. It was cold. It was like, oh, it was a lot of work.
So you liked the U.S.
The U.S. one, yeah, 91. That was rad.
That's awesome.
That was with Alice in Chains opening.
Nice.
Yeah, and Megadeth.
Gosh, you're so lucky.
Anthrax, Slayer. It was cool to watch Alice. Like, what? Look at these guys come on stage and just blow everyone away.
No shit.
And they'd always start the set, and people are like, boo, boo, fuck you, because Lane would come out and say something like, the funniest one is when he came out, we played Red Rocks, and he came out, and he goes, what's up, all you cousin fuckers? And I was like, I fucking laughed, and I'm like, I love these guys.
Yes.
I'm just fucking headbanging. You know?
Yeah,
he was the funniest, but that was like, that tour was great, because I met those dudes, and watching Megadeth, of course, watching them play, the OG, not OG, but classic lineup of Ellefson and Marty.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And I can't think of his name, the drummer that passed away. I'm just like, I'm just having a brain fart. I cannot think of it. Nick Menza.
Duh.
Oh.
Menza died around the time of Mike Scascia.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
That wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, that was
really sad. Didn't he have a heart attack?
I think he had a heart attack, yeah.
I was like, yeah, Menza.
So that lineup was awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a fucking badass lineup. Classic lineup.
Those are my three bucket list people that I want to meet are, well, there's several, but definitely Lane and Jerry and Hetfield and Mustaine, so four.
Oh, yeah. Mustaine's great, man.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean,
he's funny.
But Lane and Jerry in particular, that was like my youth growing up in the 90s, that was so heavy. And I just remember my mom just playing Alice in Chains over and over, and I'd be like, man, what is this? But then I'd be riding around in her car, and then they'd play other songs like Them Bones and Rooster. I would hear those on the radio. But then my mom was really into the third album, Tripod. You know, and she would play it over and over, and I just remember that being so dark, especially that song again. It was just like,
that album especially is so
dark.
Compared to the first two, it's like, man, can you get any darker? Well, yeah,
right.
here's Tripod.
Yeah.
Well, here's Sludge Factory, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
You insult me in my home. You're forgiven this time. That's
and
one of my favorites.
Speaking of tattoos and Lane and Jerry, I got to sit down and watch them get tattooed.
You're so
daring.
You saw them get this? Hold on.
No, not that one.
I got my Lane.
He got the...
the Christ.
Yeah, he got the Christ on his back, the eye stone shut.
Oh, my God.
And Jerry got some stuff.
You witnessed
on.
That?
Yeah, that was awesome. This little,
you're so amazing.
This little camper type thing, just enough room for us and the dude's machine. And I was like, man, it's hot as fuck. And we were drinking beers and hanging out. It was awesome.
These eyes.
It was
the things
awesome.
They've seen.
That was cool.
That's awesome, babe. So that I didn't fun. Know that.
Yeah,
that's so
on
cool.
that tour. That's why it was one of my favorite tours. It was
That's
memorable.
Amazing. Best
memorable.
Story ever. So we were going to have a guest on for our pilot episode, but we decided that we were just going to kind of chat about our lives a little bit and let you guys kind of know who we are and what we're going to do. And we're just going to start interviewing all of our friends because we realize that a lot of our friends are kind of in the spotlight.
Tattooers and musicians and, you know, touring guys, they have that in common, the touring, you know, like you're doing conventions here
we're
and there.
We're carnies.
Yeah, you just travel around. And so you have the same experiences. That's pretty cool how that the tattoos, the touring, everything kind of ties in. And you got tattooers and musicians and that tattoos are in common, you know, between everyone. Everyone has them. Because
for the most part,
it's cool when you travel around and you get the fucking, hey, I'm going to get a tattoo here. I get a tattoo. You get one in each state or something.
It's, it's a souvenir. Yeah. It's like, Sailor Jerry said it's like stamps on your luggage, but kind of commemorate your places you've been. I tattooed another really cool person I tattooed was Demolition Man from Venomy. So that's rad. But when I tattooed him, they came in and they were like, so cool. And I'm like, this is fucking Abaddon and Mantis. Oh my God. And Demolition Man. And he wanted to get tattooed. And he had this list of cities that they had played. And he wanted to get every city that Venom Inc. had played tattooed on his body. And so he sends me, gives me this list, but they only had like maybe an hour to get tattooed, right? Before they had to be at the venue. And so I'm looking through and I'm like, how about I just do the Texas dates? And he's like, yes, mate, let's do it. You know? So I wound up tattooing all the Texas dates on, I think his left arm. Yeah. It's his left arm. It's like right here. So I did like Houston, San Antonio. And so, yeah, it was really, that was really cool to tattoo freaking Demolition Man.
How many dates were there?
I think I did four or five, but it was all Texas shows. It was like kick-ass, like old English. So he had all these different styles of lettering on him. And he was just so kick-ass and down to earth and rad. And then I gave him some of my stickers and I go to the show and he's like, oh, I'll see you guys at the show, you know. I go to the show and he has my stickers, one of me like from Best Ink, like, you know, it's like my promo shot. I'm looking all serious. I have these hot red pants on, my Shania Twain photo.
And I like that photo.
Yeah. So he has that on there. It's like a little pinup. And then he has like the mini me version, like the 5-year-old version, little metal sticker. He has them on his base and where everybody's watching Venom Ink and he's got my stickers on his base. I was like, no fucking way, dude. Like at age 13 buying Welcome to Hell at Hogwild Records. Even though, of course, that's Kronos, but just hearing those songs and then hearing them in person for the first time and just being like, what the fuck? Like, I busted my ass so hard, learned how to tattoo, kicked ass, and tried to fulfill my dream of having a shop, like where I could have bands and encompass music and art and tattooing, you know? And then I wound up having Venom Ink do it in store and I'm tattooing him and he has my stickers on his base. It was just fucking crazy.
That's cool.
That was awesome. Yeah. And they're just all awesome people. And now, Jeremy Kling from Inhuman Condition
is
playing drums for them because Abaddon had a baby and I guess he's doing the dad thing, which is awesome. So that's rad because Jeremy's one of our favorite frontmen and drummers. He's freaking killer.
Yeah, he's
so
great.
Hopefully we can get him on the show soon too. But yeah, it's just,
I hope so. That'd be great.
It's just like, it's crazy. And then I tattooed Rodney Dunsmore, one of my best friends the singer of Devastation.
Hey.
Texas, legendary Texas thrash band. Our friend Riley Gale, the singer of Power Trip. Rest in peace, Riley. Mm-hmm. We love you. But Riley was super into Devastation. We always like showed up and be like, we have matching shirts because we're always like repping the home team and trying to rep Rodney because he's such a good guy. So I did a tattoo on Rodney. That was cool. And that was awesome, man. I mean, I've tattooed a lot of people. Brian Costantino, the drummer of The Obsessed, and I tattooed Tyler Childers. I'm leaving some people out, but I'm so thankful for, you know, actually trying to fulfill my dream and defying odds, and you defied a lot of odds too, touring, and here we are all these years later doing what we love. And
lots of years.
Yeah.
Lots of fractured bones.
No.
Lots of bruises and scars. And
you got lots of stories to tell coming up on the
Lot of busting your shins on ramps. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to get a hold of us on socials, y'all can, you can follow us at The Haunted Chapel, on YouTube.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah.
Just The Haunted Chapel. And you can see the familiar little skulls. You'll see those.
Of us, yes. And then you can see all of my portfolio of both my tattoos that I've done over the last 15 years, thousands of tattoos. And also I make heavy metal furniture, which I call heavy metal tables. So you can follow at heavy metal tables, all one word. But go to bztattoo.com to see my whole portfolio and body of my work, and come get tattooed by us. That's in right. San Antonio. We're here for a while.
Yes.
We don't know how long because we're gypsies like that, but we'll see. I heard that you have a really good story before we leave about Glenn Danzig, about working with him. And I think we're going to have to spill the beans someday.
Yeah, we will.
Because this story is amazing.
Yeah, another episode. Because it's kind of long and, you know, it's pretty
silly. We're going to make you wait for it.
Yeah. I want to get the facts straight before I... But it's pretty funny. Yeah. It's great.
Awesome.
You know, you don't fuck with cats.
So thank you guys for tuning into The Haunted Chapel. Follow us at The Haunted Chapel and bztattoo.com. TheHauntedChapel.com has some cool merch that Johnny and I have designed, and there's only a couple pieces up there because everything we do is super limited, but we'll be making more stuff soon.
That's
so right. Stay tuned.
Remember to keep it heavy and stay haunted.